so that we can contact you as a 10-minute speaker. And speaking of that, our 10-minute speaker tonight is Jordan from San Diego.
Thank you. My name is Jordan. You didn't even adjust it. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. My name is Jordan. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. It's a privilege to be here. It's my responsibility to be here. Been coming here. My treatment center used to bring me to this meeting, originally from Dallas, Texas, and I don't know why I stayed around at this meeting, but when I first saw the place, like, I thought that this was going to be where I saw one of the circuit speakers that I listened to on YouTube, because I'd never really seen a regularly attend, like, scheduled meeting of this size, and so I kept coming back, and I've seen one or two, but not as many as I thought originally. Shout out to everybody that came to support. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, I won't talk too much on how it's like. You know, I'll need way more than 10 minutes to go over any of that. And plus, I'm sure a lot of you have drank more than I have. You know, some of you have probably spilled more than I drank, you know. And so really, I came to San Diego by way of a treatment center. It wasn't a plan. I didn't plan on going to a treatment center. I went to a detox because I was living in a way that I couldn't bear living anymore. You know, I had come out here with some experience of being sober in the past. I had worked with guys. I'd lived in homeless shelters. I had experienced what it felt like to be in a position of neutrality, what it felt like to be a recovered member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And because I wasn't really convinced, you know, I hadn't conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. I had no idea what it really meant to be an alcoholic. I had no idea what all that entailed. My actions, you know, reflected that. I got a girlfriend. She didn't understand why I was going to AA. She didn't really believe in the God thing. And AA didn't want that to get in the way of that relationship. And so I didn't, you know, I drank again. Blamed everything on her. Spiraled out of control for about a year until I landed in that detox and came to San Diego. So who I was before, really, you know, I couldn't stick to anything, any major roadblocks on the way to those dreams that I would come up with in bed at night that kept me rolling around, you know, and it would inspire me. Any roadblocks, I would quit. I didn't follow through on anything. The only reason I finished the trade school that I went to is because I wanted my stepdad, you know, did that for my stepdad, wanted him to be proud of me. It was something that I said I wasn't never going to finish because I didn't want to be a plumber, you know. I thought that was below me. And you know, it's turned out to be one of the greatest things that I've ever done. You know, it's, you know, congratulations, Dylan, Gilbert. I saw Gilbert take a cake while he was on his world tour. And Dylan, it's awesome, man. It's really cool. It's really cool to, like, see guys take more time, because that means, like, I'm growing with them. You know, and I think that's the major difference for me today is, you know, when I came out here and I heard, you know, like, I heard that, like, no human power can relieve me of my alcoholism. You know, for the first time, I included myself in that. You know, for the first time, I realized, like, it didn't matter how much of an honest desire I had to stay sober. I was never going to be able to keep myself sober. That desire that I had, then that first week to a month, that kept me dry, that kept me in the meeting, that kept me coming back, that kept the plug in the jug, was never enough to keep me sober for any extended amount of time. You know, and I had gone to a lot of meetings and I felt more irritable, restless, and discontented listening to, you know, people talk about their drunks than I did before I walked into the meeting. So obviously it wasn't just the meetings that were going to keep me sober. You know, and when I'm out there, I don't know about you guys, but I want it all. I want to do it all, you know. And what I realized coming in here, like, I needed everything that AA has to offer. I needed to be involved in everything that AA has to offer. You know, and so that's what I do today. You know, I came in and nobody had to drag me to a meeting. Nobody had to drag me to get a sponsor. Nobody had to drag me to start reaching out to guys. And I wasn't the kind of guy that you're going to be able to tell that I needed to have a year before I could start sponsoring guys. You know, I was half the time they're like, what are you talking about? Stop talking. Because, man, I was so convinced that after, you know, you would think, you know, a normal person might consider, you know, the life that I lived abnormal, but for me it was the only one I knew. It was the only one I didn't know how to get out of, and I was stuck in this delusion that there was going to be something that I was going to be able to do to be able to pull off my drinking. And through so many failed attempts in doing that. By the time I finally got out here and I had to be removed from my home state, it hit me square in the face that, you know, I better figure out a way to do Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, really, the question I had to ask myself, I said, what could my life really look like if I really tried this thing? What could my life look like? You know, because I'm that kind of guy that I like to, you know, I always see my, you know, I was always told by the probation officer, by the school counselors, by my parents, you have so much potential, you know, and I believed it. I just couldn't figure out how to tap into that, you know, and do anything with it. And, you know, I stand before you is, you know, I'm doing something with that potential. But, you know, in this life, that's dramatic, and it's up and it's down, and you know, there's not a lot of constants. The one constant I can always look to is Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, the same solution that gives me the financial peace before I get the finances, you know, is the same one that I find in the book, the same one that I keep coming back to that I'm realizing is just that simple, that I just rinse, wash, and repeat. You know, and it's not, I try to make stuff so complicated and overthink it, and like it's so difficult, but really, like, it all started with that first step. It's like I fully conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, and then I am totally effed. You know, like, and if my problem is that I'm powerless mentally and physically, that, like, physically when I start to drink, the scary part is I don't know when I'm going to stop. The scary part is I think back to my 21st birthday when I did have those couple drinks and I showed up to work on time the next day. The scary part is sometimes on a Friday I might take a drink and I might come back on Friday. Sometimes I take a drink on Saturday and I don't come back until the next Thursday. You know, and I just never know when that's going to happen. You know, and so for me to come in here and to get sober and to think that I know what the day's going to look like when I take a drink again, I'm fooling myself. You know, and that hit me pretty hard because I had no idea. It scared me to death that, you know, when I was sitting in that treatment center and I was so worried about all this stuff, I had this whole life that I had built in Dallas, you know. I had an apartment. This was one of the only times, I think, that I hadn't burned everything to the ground, you know. And it was all being held up by payday loans, but I still had some of those things. My name was still on a lease. You know, they were expecting the payment at least within the first 15 days, you know. And, you know, but I realized that I was going to, yeah, okay. I was going to lose everything. It didn't matter all this other stuff that I had always looked to, that I'd always tried, you know, that I'd try to seek comfort in. Like, I was going to lose it all anyway. It didn't matter, you know. And this guy said, like, Jordan, if you can stay sober, you can get all that back. And I believed that, you know, because that's what my life looked like. I'd burn it all to the ground. I'd get sober because I was scared and I was convinced that I was an alcoholic. But I didn't understand what that meant. And so my actions never reflected that, you know. And give me 6 to 9 months, maybe a year on a good streak, and I'll burn it down again. You know, this time around, you know, if I don't take a drink, February 17th, I'll have 2 years of sobriety. And that blows my mind, you know. But it's not because, like, I did, you know, like, I do what AA asked me to do, you know. I believe in a God that gives me the power to stay sober, you know. I believe in the action that's necessary in this program to stay in this condition, you know. And when I get too far outside of that, that's when I start getting real uncomfortable, you know. And again, I because life is so inconsistent, you know, I forget that where I find that consistency and that comfort and that, it's okay, is, you know, is right here in these meetings, is right there in that car with a big book sitting next to another guy, you know, right there, you know, in the fellowship, my Tuesday night primary purpose group, this, you know, everyone's like, what's your home group? I'm like, I've been going to the same couple meetings for almost 2 years, so it's hard to tell, but this meeting, obviously great, glad you guys are here. Tuesday night, primary purpose, it's in Hillcrest, 7 o'clock, please come and join us. You can definitely feel the spirit of the fellowship there. When I got a rough day on a Tuesday night, I mean, there's some nights where I accidentally go there because I love that meeting so much. I really like people. It sounds so cliche, but like I really enjoy the life that I live today. And like on the outside looking in, and the guy that's 27 years old, and you're like, what are you doing on Friday night? I'm like, I don't really know because I go to a meeting almost every night. But I'm okay with that today. It doesn't feel like such an arduous task. Like I genuinely enjoy like everybody in these first couple rows. You know what I mean? I don't know everybody, but like in the third row, like do a lot of AA with those people, you know, and everyone over here. But seriously, like I have some incredible relationships today, like that make it hard. Like even whenever my parents are like, "What's going on? You know, why don't you consider coming home?" Or like da 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 da. I'm like, man, if you could understand what it feels like you know, what it feels like to be a part of this community and to be like a recovered member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you would understand, and surfing, like, you know, like, you'd understand why I'm not in a big hurry to come home, you know. It's, I didn't think that I'd be that guy that stood up there and said, like, I love AA and, like, I live a great life, but, like, I really do. And you would have questioned my sanity last night if you'd have seen how much coffee I drank, and it was just all over the place, but, like, I've been restored to sanity, you know, and, like, I make some pretty crazy decisions today, but when it comes to alcohol, like, I don't believe that it's okay for me to take a drink. It's not, you know, and I have AA to thank for that, and the men and women, really, that have gone before me and have shown me this way, because I couldn't figure it out on my own, just like I couldn't figure out how to not drink on my own, you know, and so there's so much more to learn, you know. 39 years is a long time, and you know, and that can seem kind of overwhelming to you at the beginning, but it is a day-at-a-time program, and I used to, like, freak out on people that would say, oh, you're just going to hold on one day at a time, you know, but it's what am I doing with today? You know, what am I doing with today that's going to ensure that I can stay sober tomorrow? You know, seek God, clean house, help others, man. It's simple. It's so simple, and I make it so complicated and difficult. And so I'm just really grateful for the people that have slapped me and said, hey, look, just calm down. Just do this. You know, I need you guys, you know, and thank you for the impact that you've had on my life. That's it.